Okay. Put the Randy
Dirty sideline. Dave Sanchez and Misty here live on the Shaman Stand. Mm. Dirty Dave, host of Rampage Radio.
What's up?
We R E A reach everywhere. Yeah, we reach everywhere. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I think I should get something going like this for Rampage. It'd be nice. People can just kind of tune in. Awesome. Next time we have Frank on, we have a live performance.
W E E L W well I have B I have been A S asking you for the R A Rampage radio show. Oh, to play on Lover.
I'm trying to think when you first asked me to come on here. I don't have a car, it's difficult. So I have to kind of arrange my rides.
For he's saying he's been asking you for your show to play on Lover, to give you a time slot on Lover.
Oh, wow.
For years? He said he's been asking you for years.
So we could just put the show. Well, you know what? I would love to.
We play it on tape. But
you just play it on tape?
That's what we do for most people. Yeah.
That'd be really cool. So I could like tape my show and just give a tape over?
Yeah. Then we give you a time slot and it plays once a week or once a month or whatever you want it to be.
Fine. You know what? So you guys just have like a camera set up. So I could just have a camera set up and they could just film everything.
It doesn't have to be video. It can be audio. Like if you just audio tape the show that you already do,
so
we would
just
play
tape
the audio tape of it.
Oh.
In fact.
So you'd have no.
And
there'd be no visual.
No, most of the shows are not video. There, this is a T R A. D, E, a trade, S, E, secret. This is a trade secret.
Trade secret?
S, O, so, don't tell anyone.
Alright, I'll keep this between me and you.
But,
keep that down low.
People, don't. W, watch, video. What we have found is that people see, the video never really seemed to catch on.
People aren't really tuned to the video?
Yeah, it's like when video shows start, everybody leaves. And then when they're over, they all come back.
Wow, that's weird.
And it seems, we figure that it could be that most of the time people are doing things on their computer and just listening. And then video kind of requires more like attention.
It takes up more bandwidth and more power from the computer, so you can't really run other applications probably.
Even that.
I don't even know if it's that.
It's just that they don't want to have to sit there and watch it.
And download it.
Yeah, well, it's John, it streams.
It's streaming
media.
It's more
like people's habits at
the
computer. It's like their habits at the computer is not to sit and watch something.
But yet they put it on in the background.
Right, or listen, and then listen.
That's a good idea. I have a bunch of old tapes. I should get some.
Old tapes would be great. Then we could start with that.
Yeah, I should do that. You know, I'll go through my archives. I know I have a few boxes. I kind of lately, Boom's been taping everything. So Boom has like the most current tapes of like what you guys were on just recently.
Yes. We. N. O. We noticed that he was taping it. No. Did not. Oh, he didn't tape our segment, though.
Boom didn't tape it last time?
No. He said, I didn't start the tape yet when it was over.
That sucks. That totally sucks. And he said he was taping it, so I usually, like, if I want something, I'll just go ask him, and he keeps all the tapes.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Wow, that sucks. It used to be easier for me to do that before, because I had more people kind of doing the show with us. So now it's like when I do the show, it's kind of more work for me because I have to play all the music, arrange all the guests, work all the microphones, and like, you know, keep track of what else is going on. Sometimes, you know, this craziness, high chase of foot. But before I had like a guy, I had a guy that was my producer, and then I had a guy that was like my engineer that was doing all the music and the sound and everything, and so I could just kind of hang out with the guests. It was a little cooler before.
What happened?
Well, Jose Bacteria was my co-host at the time, and that guy was really good. He was just a very good engineer. We got a job now working for DreamWorks, and so we just kind of stopped hanging out. Then there was another guy, I think the first time when you guys were on, I mean, if you remember, there's some younger dudes there, yeah. There was in a band, and there was like a fatter guy that was El Baracho.
Yeah.
And he was my co-host, and along with Boom. Boom's always been there, but Baracho, like, was a really good engineer, and once again, could work the mics. Like, Boom can't really do that. But I bet you could, actually, if I train him, because Boom now, like, spins records, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you kind of have to be KUSF certified. Like, I went through the program to be able to use their soundboard and use their equipment. That guy Baracho did, whereas Boom's never officially been through the program, yet he can still work the equipment.
How did you get started there?
Get started in Rampage?
Yeah.
Well, Rampage has been going on for, like, let's see, we just had our, like, 23-year anniversary not too long ago. It's like 22 years.
Wow.
Started back in 1981, and if you can actually watch VH1 Behind the Music, and Ron Quintana, who's the founder of Rampage, he was, like, just a big metalhead guy. And, like, no one really could listen to metal, and, like, it was just a new thing back then, in 81. Like, Metallica just was starting out. You know, we had all these bands that, like, Slayer, you know, Exodus, all these bands, especially, like, the local thrash metal bands that were just starting out, but no one was hearing it because the commercial radio wouldn't touch it. And so Ron just started this show. It was, like, you know, late time slot, 2 to 8 in the morning, Saturday nights, but they had that open slot, and he started doing it, and he's been doing it for, you know, 23 years. I met Ron, like, about 4 years ago.
This is on a Catholic.
Catholic channel.
Yeah.
No, it's like satanic programming on a Catholic channel.
Do they know what's
Jesuit,
going on?
I think it's a Jesuit university. I think that's what that University of San Francisco is. Something like that. You know, it's funny because you know, we're outside where everyone smokes and hangs out like, between sets, between like air breaks.
Yeah.
Usually, like people hang out outside. And, like it's all nuns and priests that live in those dorms up there. So when people are like being loud and they're getting drunk, it's like we have priests up there getting upset with us and nuns. And like right after Rampage ends at 8 a.m, a Christian show starts. So I usually play like the most blasphemous metal all the way up till like, you know, 7:59. Because as soon as 7:59 hits, well then you got the guy coming in to do the Jesus show.
Yeah,
it's really funny. It's just like we're playing all this nastiness and all of a sudden it's God time, you know.
So they know about it and it's okay?
You know, I've been in trouble. I've been in trouble a few times. Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I've always been hesitant about having like a camera in on Rampage, because this would be cool, like do the show and stream it live. Because I mean, we have fans that call, like, the other day, the last show we did a couple weeks ago, we had some people calling in from Florida. I had a guy call from Norway one time. I was just listening online. It's like, yeah, it's amazing with the internet. And so, like, I've always wanted to have a camera in there, because people have said that to me. Like, you know, you can film all the craziness that goes on. But if we do that, well, then the people of KUSF, like the program directors, could see that, know what goes on, and I'd probably get booted.
Yeah.
Because we're not even technically allowed to have beer there.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I could imagine listening to a six-hour radio show, you know, doing a six-hour radio show without having a beer.
Dealing
with Bob without a beer.
And
I don't know about that.
And I did not see any beer, but
hidden behind. We hide the beer. Everything else is just cut out.
Lay it out on the table.
We don't care about that. The beer, you know. Yeah, it kind of is funny because, like, Rampage, especially back in the day, like when Ron Quintana was doing the early 80s, it was like the party spot on Saturday nights. Like, Metallica would come in there. There's some of the, Ron had this old metal magazine called Metal Mania. And, like, there are pictures of Joey Ramone hanging out there, and Lemmy from Motorhead, and the guys from Slayer. Like, all these famous bands, like, back when they were young and no one knew about them, they'd hang out at KUSF. it was became a big party spot. Well, then I think like sometime around the late 80s, someone OD'd or something happened, and like cops came, and Ron basically got kicked off the air, and it was Rampage was off for a few months, and then he kind of petitioned for the show back, and now he's been, you know, clean ever since. Like, he's just like doesn't have any parties, just kind of keeps it to himself. And then I started doing it, and then I started getting, you know, having people come down, and it started getting a little crazy. I got in trouble, and so now I'm trying to keep it all in check, too.
Wow.
Because, I mean, it's honestly, it's like, you know, we are borrowing their equipment and using their station. And, like, right. sometimes, like, the people, like, I invite usually are pretty cool, but, you know, sometimes, like, their friends will come in, and, you know, they'll get out of hand, they'll drink beer, and they'll just be wasted, or puke on the table or something. Not you guys.
W-E. Well. It. Was not F R I friends of a F friend. That was the last time we were there.
You know, friends there?
He was saying it wasn't friends of a friend who was partying at the last show.
No, it was like
the actual people.
It was all, that was what was cool about it. It's like we didn't have like extra bands. It was all kind of like everyone knew each other. That was cool. Yeah. Those are my favorite Rampages. And we had some people down there that were all friends with the guests and everything.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have like bands that come in that we don't know them. Like, I might know one of the guys or something, but like I invite bands. So I like to give people a shot.
Yeah.
And like, you know, they usually. No radio, commercial radio station, ever paying attention to any of these local bands. So, like, I let them come on and just kind of hang out and do it. But sometimes they get freaked out. Like, you'll have, you know, El Duce, for example, you know, sit there and, like, bust out whatever in front of them. And, like, these guys are like, oh, my God, you know? Like, we've had this before. Like, one time we had we had some girl that had sex with a Rottweiler. And she was, like, getting naked on the table. And, like, one of the guys from one of the bands that we had two bands in was, you know, sticking a dildo in her, and, like, this other guy from the other band, like, they all left. They were all freaked out and left. I don't want to mention the band names, but, like, these guys were just freaked out and were just like, yeah, we're not going to come on your show. It's
what?
Wild.
W-H-I. What wimps?
Yeah, pussies. That's what I say. Yeah, they ended up having to leave.
P-O- S posers.
Posers, definitely. I don't know, they claim to be a punk rock band. Now, what's more punk rock than that? That's what I say, but hey. But yeah, you got, I mean, that's the thing, it's like sometimes you never know like who's gonna come down and then you kinda have to
like
watch it.
When I F I first W E went on the show. There was a G I a girl.
Yeah.
Right. And I
was trying to think of who was there that time. There are a couple girls there actually.
Asked her to
I remember this.
Do do vocals. Frank asked her, that was the first time we met her, and Frank asked if she would do vocals when he was going to sing, and so he starts singing, and she drops her clothes and starts masturbating, ejaculating,
room.
Like that was her thing.
She sprayed.
She was spraying all over the room, and we're all like, you know.
It seems like having an orgasm, and like, we had our mics, so I mean, you could hear it. It went really well with the music, though. Like, I think Bob was playing harmonica.
It was quite great.
It was quite spectacular. It's like musical extravaganza. But if I recall correctly, there was a big puddle left on the chair, a little stain on the chair when she got up.
Yes.
I do remember that. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. I forgot about that.
I
have that on tape. That would be a nice thing to get you guys.
I am F L flexible. It's not what you had in mind, but you were flexible.
Yeah, it's all that spontaneity. It's good. That's what your show's all about.
I ain't a P-O-opposer.
Hell no. You're the complete opposite. I know. I was stoked when that girl did that. Yeah. I don't know if we actually got pictures of her. I think we might have. But
didn't
I know we had it all
video?
On tape. We taped
that whole thing.
We
got a video.
We had the whole thing. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And see, that's something I should put on my website. Have you checked out my website recently?
I saw the photographs.
Yeah, I have
some
new.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Those are the old ones. I have some new photographs I'm going to put out from when you guys were just on.
No, didn't
which I actually been talking about my presence.
Yeah.
I have some other stuff here. Rampage shirt for Frank here, which I meant to give you last time is our new Rampage shirts. You can order one for Frank.
That is great. Thank you.
And I bought another one. Unfortunately, I only have extra large, so.
We don't wear anything smaller than
so, here's another one for a new.
That's great.
You guys have a couple. And then I made you guys a CD with all the pictures on it from that show.
Cool.
So.
Yeah. We'll have to put it up on our website.
Totally, that's what I was thinking. It's like, we got some really good shots. My brother's taking some pictures. So. Some good shots of us just during the interview.
M-O-M-I-K Mike V I videoed that N I night. Mikey videoed the first night. The first night.
Oh, the original night. Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd want to check that out.
Do you have you don't have a video of that, right?
No,
you just have an audio thing?
Yeah, I just have an audio tape.
We should dub you a copy.
If you guys would dub me a copy, that'd be really cool. I'd actually try to record that on my computer and make a QuickTime movie. And you can just load it on the website.
Yeah.
That was cool. Just the performance would be nice.
Yeah.
The sound bite.
Yeah.
I've been going through and trying to catalog all the our greatest hits, put in the soundbite section. I do have some cool stuff. We had you ever heard that band Schizo?
Oh yeah, and of course. We've built with them more than once.
That was my first show I've ever done at Rampage Radio with Schizo, first band I ever interviewed. And we just made a shout out on the air, just like any girls want to come down here and get puked on. And so we had these two girls that were just randomly, 4 in the morning, were out and about, and they're like, yeah, we'll come in and get puked on. We're like, all right, if you come in and get puked on, we'll give you a bag of mushrooms. And so we gave them, I think we gave them, two hits of E and a bag of mushrooms. And these girls came in, and, he puked all over her. All over her hands, all over her chest.
Oh,
man. We're like, this is great.
What?
I have a great clip of that, too.
What were they like, the girls?
The girls? Well, you know, they're a little snobby. They wouldn't get naked, unfortunately.
Wow.
And we were trying to get them because we were like, it'd make the show a lot better. It'd enhance the show if you get naked and then get puked on.
Right.
But she wasn't down with that. I was just like, we'll throw another hit of ecstasy. It's just like, no. And so she ended up getting puked on. Her friend wouldn't do it. And as soon as she got puked on, she screamed, ran out of the place, and they left. It was just like that, yeah. It's really funny. I was you realize, and what was kind of funny about it is Lance of Xanax from Schizo. After that show, he ended up doing Howard Stern. I think he went on to, I think he was on Ricky Lake or something, or Maury Povich.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he did a bunch of shows. And,
did
puked.
He puke on
Yeah, he
all
puked
the shows?
On the show. That was his whole thing. It was shock rock.
Right.
It was cool. I was like, we had him first.
Yeah, that's right. C.
But yeah, first fan I ever interviewed.
B. O. Bob. And J. O. John the Baker. F. I. G. Fight.
John the Baker and Bob fought.
O. Over.
Uh oh.
Who?
That'd be bad.
Who gets puked on?
I wouldn't doubt that. I don't think Bob would care.
Yeah.
That guy's insane.
Yeah.
You know
Bob gets
really
puked
funny?
In all the time in his mouth. He opens his mouth and gets puked right in his mouth.
He does it really during the
show.
Actually, I think I saw that at Kimo's.
Yeah.
That's when they play the chemos. Yeah, yeah. Bob didn't even, like, there's puke coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after they're done, Ann goes up and cleans up.
Cleans him up.
As Bob's wife.
I love Ann. She's great. Yeah. You know, it's one funny thing, if you're in place in the old shows, we had this trial for Bob Madigan. I don't know if you ever heard about that. We had a trial for Bob Madigan because one of the guy, El Baracho, wanted Bob kicked off the show. And I would never let that happen because Bob's great. He's a great character. His voice is funny. And if you ever listen to the tapes of Bob's voice, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And not to mention, he's just funny. He's a great character. And it's like, it's awesome to have him on. I'm a big fan of Puff Girl. Yeah. And so we did this kind of bit where we had this trial. And the one guy, Baracho, was a prosecutor. I was going to kick him off. I had Bob, this other dude that came in, this guy named Jamin, was Bob's defense attorney. And Boom was supposed to be Bob's character witness. And Boom comes in wearing a shirt that said, "Vote Bob off the show." I'm like, "Well, you're defending Bob." And so, like, it was just the funniest, like, most ridiculous rampage trial. We're, like, drinking beer, getting wasted. And, like, to make a long story short, it was fine. But we said, like, if Bob ever, with the whole deal with the whole thing, is Bob would light his dick on fire.
Right.
Every show. It didn't matter, like, why. I mean, there was no reason, no rhyme or reason why he'd light his dick on fire. It was just like, Bob would show up, there'd be a bunch of people, I don't know if he got excited, and the next thing you know, it's like his pants are down, the whole place reeks of burning pubes, people are screaming. It's just like, it became a regular thing. Every show, every 2 weeks.
It was ridiculous. You and unclear on the concept of radio.
I know, because no one can see it. Yeah, radio's not visual.
It.
Yeah, it was just funny. I don't know why he didn't either. And it was like, it didn't even matter if, like, we had, you know, because it's rare that we get girls to come down during that time slot. Now, you know, I did work as a strip club DJ, so sometimes I would get some pretty sexy girls come in that would just party with us. And as soon as they'd walk in there, Bob would stare at them, sometimes masturbate, and then light his dick on fire, and they would just be out of there. It's like girls would last, like, maybe 5 minutes. And, like, it made everybody mad. Like, Bob, why are you doing this? And so this guy wanted to kick Bob off the show. So we had a big trial over why Bob lights his dick on fire and whether or not we should keep him on the show.
Hey. Every gig he sucks Frank's penis now.
He
That's
does.
That's his latest shtick.
That's his new thing. Yeah. We had a big discussion about this with him the other day.
Yeah, good. N O. Now he is M A making it in to a
musical instrument.
Oh, now he's making it into a
musical instrument.
Playing Frank's balls or something, so it makes
a skin
sound.
Flute. Skin flute.
Right.
Yeah. I leave it to Bob. Did you go to his barbecue the other day on Sunday?
No.
Because he had a big barbecue in there.
For.
I was supposed to get him to come in here tonight.
For a L O long time. He plays it for a long time. It's not just for like a minute.
He'll just sit there playing it. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Bob's a great man. Yeah, that guy's crazy.
Then he always says, but he's not gay.
Yeah.
He always ends it by saying that.
He's not gay, yeah. Well, at least he throws that in. That's Bob Madigan. He's married.
Yeah, right. But B O Bob is why I get M.O. most of my R.O. Rock gigs
Those are rock shows?
Yeah.
Play the Fluff Girl?
Yeah, he's the one that started it, really. Mm. He, because we hadn't been playing at clubs for a while.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, you guys were playing, like, festivals, stuff like that.
We were mainly doing the performance art stuff. And, you know, we had done rock clubs years before, but we had gone years of not doing it. And then when we were doing Lover and hooked up with Pervertidor Records.
Yeah, Pervertidora.
And
yeah.
when Chris and Joanna, Frank invited them to be on the show, they... F... O... Found... Oh, they found us by... They searched and found country porn. We have the whole country porn record on our site. Have you ever heard of country porn?
Yeah, I've never seen that country
They were
porn.
Big in the 70s. A really good country band with all, like, porno lyrics. Come stains... On my pillow where your sweet head used to be.
But now that sounds kind of familiar. I think I might have checked it out when I looked at your site.
Yeah.
The link to it, isn't there?
Yeah. Sounds from the Underground.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
The whole LP's up there. It's like a classic now. You buy it on eBay.
They found that and then...
Yeah, he found that and he contacted Frank. And then Frank invited him and Joanna to be on this show. And he said, is it okay if I bring this guy Bob with me? Because Joanna and I aren't real good talkers, but Bob's a good talk. So Bob comes staggering in the house with a shopping bag of beer, and like, oh my god!
I got
a
beer.
And as the show goes on, we realize that he's actually, you know, really, you can understand what he's saying. He makes a lot of sense.
He totally does. He's great. He's really It's really funny because sometimes it's like I figure that like Boom is more together just by meeting Boom. I always think. Think that Boom is more together than Bob.
Right.
But Bob will come out and come back at you from, like, the left with, like, this, you know, really intelligent, insightful comment. And you're like, where did that come out, that guy? Because Bob's drunk 24/7.
It's
funny, too, because, like, out of, you know, you listen, I don't know if you ever listen to Howard Stern, but Howard Stern has his, like, drunk guy that comes on the show.
Right.
Bob's so much better. Such a better character on the radio than that guy.
Yeah.
Like, not to mention, Bob's the real thing.
He's the real deal.
He's the real deal.
Yeah. And R E L I A reliable. Yeah, that was the other thing that, you know, when he called us like weeks or a month or so after that show and said, you want to do a double bill with Fluff Girl. And that was like out of nowhere, you know. And then
where'd you guys play? Was it just
Chemos? That was years ago. Mm. But ever, you know, for years,
he was the one getting us all our gigs.
That was way into it.
I remember the first time I'd ever seen Extreme Elvis. I walk in and like, you guys were playing. And I walked in right when you guys had just started.
Yeah.
And you know who Harlow is, the bartender?
Yeah.
She was in there taking tickets, and I was like, is this Extreme Elvis? She's like, I don't know who the hell this is. It's crazy. And I'm looking around, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? And I was just like, wow, this is cool. And so I call up a bunch of friends. I'm like, you guys got to come down here and check this out. I've never seen anything like it. It's like about 10 of my friends showed up, and then Extreme Elvis went on afterwards.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Some... One, in, on, the, I, N, internet, J, just, sent, oh, that's the Extreme Elvis? That's how we found out about Extreme Elvis. Somebody that we don't even know sent Frank the video clip.
Of that first
gig where he has that fight in the audience with somebody. And Frank calls Mikey and I over. He goes, check this out. And
it was like, that the show he was banned from Bottom of the Hill?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was like an early thing. And, well, you know, most things, like, don't impress us, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, wow, who's this guy? So that's how we found out about him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I've been telling people, like, Boom. Boom said you guys just did that show at John the Baker's new place,
Slaughterhouse.
How was that?
The Slaughterhouse. It was great.
Is it the one with the feeders?
Yeah, there's the feeders.
We had this big feeders tribute for Bob the other day. He brought in like a bunch of feeders records. So he played like feeders for like a half hour.
Oh wow! All the All-Stars was B, was basically, yeah, the All-Star band that night was basically the Feeders and Fluff Girl.
Feeders and Fluff Girl, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was pretty, yeah, good. W?
Good turnout?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seemed like it was a good turnout to us. I think John had hoped there would have been more people there, but, you know,
yeah,
seemed pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's kind of, it's hard for me to get to Oakland now. It sucks.
Yeah.
The BART ran all night, which I don't know why it doesn't.
That's terrible that it doesn't.
If the BART,
the
run
BART
all night,
ran
then,
all
yeah.
night. Because he was saying he doesn't have a car.
Yeah, so people yeah. in the city, I mean, and there's like all these new places where they're, like, there's a new place called the Golden Bull, and if you heard about that downtown, where
in Oakland?
The Holocaust, yeah, it's booking shows there.
Wow.
The Fleshies and Fracas and all these bands.
Wow. Is there A, P, L, O, plot, O, to, as a way to keep people from doing things, they don't run
yeah,
the public transportation
well,
all night.
It's funny if you think about it.
But keep the people that would go to the kinds of things that would last after midnight from doing what they want to do.
Well, you'd think if they had the BART going, then there'd be less drunk driving going
right.
out over the bridge. Maybe
right.
it's less revenue for the city or something.
It.
You don't get to impound your car.
Did. It used to run all night. That was a long time
oh, really?
Ago, though. Yeah.
When it first started?
Yeah.
I mean, if they could run that all night, I mean, when you play shows out here,
mm-hmm.
you have a huge mm-hmm. attendance in the city.
Yeah. That happens all the time to us, that people come and they end up having to leave. The performance
yeah,
will go till 2,
early.
And everybody leaves like 11:30.
And like sometimes your guys' shows go, you guys
yeah,
go for a long
we
time.
Go late.
Extended period of time.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
Chemo's, I mean, Chemo's a pretty cool place to see a show.
Yeah.
I like that venue. And
yeah.
I think Bloom's doing a good job
yeah.
over there.
Yeah, Chemo's is great. He was saying
that he likes Chemo's, that that's a pretty good venue.
Yeah, I like Chemo's.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. E. S. Especially. Mm. W. With. Mm. Boom there.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah, with
yeah,
Boom there.
He's great.
And you yeah. know, that's the thing. When I remember when did you guys first meet Boom? Is that through Bob?
Yes.
Is that Boom through Bob?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. R, A. It was right around the first time we went on Rampage Radio,
oh,
so I
the,
think.
The,
yeah.
Yeah, that was like good, almost 2
couple
years ago.
Years
yeah,
ago
a couple
I
years
think.
Ago.
Yeah.
That was the first thing. I had already seen you guys play with Extreme Elvis at that point.
Yes.
That's why I was impressed. And like when Bob told me that we were going to hook this up, I was like, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, perfect Rampage material.
I, and I was L. I listening to R A Rampage when oh when Extreme Elvis was on. We
oh,
listened to
yeah.
it the night it was on. He was
that
on.
Actually that was a great show.
Yeah.
He's been on a couple times since, but like that first show was the Christmas show.
That was the first time we L listened to Rampage
to
Radio.
Rampage.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that was a really big show. I remember that because we had he came on. It was our Christmas show. We were doing this like Christmas ridiculous theme show for that. But he came in and he did like Silent Night, when it Blue Christmas, and then you know was a song he always does, Suspicious Minds.
Uh-huh.
It's like one of his yeah. favorite numbers. So I recorded those, and I put those on the website. And,
oh,
I mean, he
cool.
does a really good version of Silent Night.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
it's just like a dead-on Elvis impression. It's great.
Wow.
And that was a cool show. I remember I come in, I bring him this, since he came on the show, I gave him this, like, we brought in this fifth of Jack Daniels. I'm like, here you go. And, like, a big thing, I like, I don't know what it was, like Whippets or something? He brought in these Whippets. So he's, like, doing a shot of Jack and then just doing Whippets. And he's like, what'd you ask me, Dr. Sanchez? I'm like, oh, God. No, that was a pretty crazy night.
And U S T A started T talking about me. Oh, right. The,
yeah,
at
yeah,
some
we're,
point you started talking
yeah,
about
we were discussing because
yeah.
he actually brought it up. Because I mean he had played with you guys before.
Yeah.
And so we started talking because I was saying the first time I had seen Extreme Elvis was when he played with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was just like, you know, one of those nights where you're, I mean, you're completely blown away.
Yeah.
Like overstimulation there.
It's
Two crazy shows at once. It's pretty crazy.
The F I the first was the D A Dada. Oh, that's the first time we met him. Was at the Frank got him booked at the Dada Fest because he suggested to them that they book Extreme Elvis. That was when he was like first kind of showing up around here. And
we
knew about him was seeing that video where he got in
his
fist fight. We never met him, never seen him, nothing. He had emailed Frank because Frank had told him we liked the video and asked him if we could get a copy for our site. So he had mailed us a copy, but that's all we knew. So if he comes up to Frank and introduces himself, and Frank's, what did Frank say? Don't beat me up or something like that. Because <Yeah. laughs> we didn't know, We really didn't know.
Frank he was all violent.
Yeah.
He's a big guy,
yeah,
too.
He is a big guy. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You know what I was wondering? Like, I haven't seen a show with Extreme Elvis in a while. Like,
he moved to L.A.
He's in L.A. now?
Yeah.
When did he move to L.A.?
6 months or so ago. He got big B. L O A bloated.
Yeah, bloated. He went down to LA. And I'm worrying about him now.
Yeah.
In that environment, he's probably going to have fake breasts.
You should be. Yeah.
Surgical buttocks, or something. I don't know.
He will.
Like, binge and purge.
Not C O come on the show anymore.
He wouldn't come on this show?
No,
Why not? Did he ever come on here?
Oh, he was on here 3 times or so. Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't he come on the show again? He just, too
well,
big?
Well, he's kind of gotten a little big-headed, I'd say, about being really a big deal now.
I wonder if he's still a big deal down in L.A., cause I've seen him play a show at the Garage down in L.A.
Yeah.
I was down there visiting some friends. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, we got to go check out Extreme Elvis. So we went and hung out at the show. And it was kind of funny because all these people in L.A., I don't think they had any idea of how to handle a guy like this. Like, in your face, naked, fat man, wiping, feces on you or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like all these people from L.A. were just sitting there on their cell phones. And all of a sudden, he, runs out and just grabs them. And they just ran out of the place. Uh-huh. And the place cleared out. It's in, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. Uh-huh. I loved it. But yeah, no,
two,
I noticed he changes his
C H R Christmas. Christmas, Christmases. Two Christmas. A ago. Right. He was on, it was this show fell on Christmas Day. And so Frank had invited him to be on the show. It was an incredible show. He came and he brought this woman with him that he had met who lived in Seattle and had just came down to the Bay Area and had heard about when they played they had a video night at the Gilman Street. There's Frank as Extreme Elvis, that photograph there. It's kind of
Wow.
The idea had been that
pretty cool.
Extreme Elvis had said, let's switch. How about you be me one night? So that's what we did at the store club. He didn't tell his band. He didn't tell anybody. He told one backup singer. And he came over the night before and gave Frank his outfit, and Frank gave him a spare wheelchair, and he was Frank, and Frank was him. And he had a guy wheeling him in. Frank just wheels in as Extreme Elvis, and the band are flexible, right? And he's grabbing the audience as he comes in, grabbing people. The backup singer was, wheeling him in. The place was packed, and they were all there for an Extreme Elvis show, and there's Frank.
And there's
no explanation. He just starts singing the songs, and the band knows to just go with whatever, And there were some skinheads there who, do you know Exchen Christian, who does sound at the, sound at the Slaughterhouse.
I might have met him, maybe.
Christian Lunch is his other name.
Maybe if I see him.
Yeah, but he was doing sound at the Store Club, and he said he thought those skinhead guys were there to beat Extreme Elvis up. So he was like so relieved to see Frank there as Extreme Elvis because he knew that, you know, they wouldn't be.
No.
But they came at Frank. One of them came at Frank, and the backup singers and the band guys just kind of like went after the guy. So they left, and we did the whole show, and it was fun. And then at Gilman Street, they had contacted Frank for this video night, and they asked if we'd give him a video, like 20-minute video. B, A, C, back, up,
<That's awesome.
laughs> P, I, S, piss. Oh, you got pissed on when he was Extreme Elvis. On that, at the Star Club, one of the backup singers did the usual piss
the
thing.
Usual piss
so
thing.
She drops her pants and straddles Frank and pisses on him.
So but, yeah, you have to see Extreme Elvis to understand the usual piss thing.
There's always like some kind of like excrement going on,
yeah,
pissing, shitting. So right, so that's right. So that so they asked if Frank had something. They had this punk video night, and they were short, like a 20-minute thing. Do you have? We didn't know the guy, you know. So
no.
Frank said, "Give him the segment where I get pissed on as Extreme Elvis." So we give them that, and apparently this was like the thing that got everybody upset at Gilman Street. This video.
Why they saw that, and the people at Gilman just couldn't take it?
Yeah, they couldn't take
Talk
it.
Talk about posers.
Yeah, really. So Frank is like, "Oh, how cool!" You know, I'm freaking out. You know, like baby punks. And
yeah, a little.
So this woman from Seattle heard about all this, and what she said was people were freaked out because they thought Frank was there against his will.
They're so self-righteous. They're like the self-righteous punks at Gilman. they thought they took you and dressed you up
right,
as Elvis.
Right, right. Yeah, and made him sing.
And made you sing and then pissed
and made
him
look like he's having a good time. N, U, nude, right. S, E, nude sexy women. You know, crawling all over Frank and pissing on him. They forced
so you're like,
it on
I'm
him.
Forced, yeah, I'm forced to do this. I don't want to be here.
So she comes down from Seattle and hears this whole story, and Extreme Elvis lives in this house that she's staying at, and he goes, "Hey, you know, I know Frank, and I'm going over to his house on Christmas night. You want to come?" So this is like, you know, so this girl's like really impressed, right? So she's there. And then Christian Lund showed up with his girlfriend. So this is a really cool Christmas show.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. You
know, it was supposed to be Frank and Extreme Elvis singing Christmas carols together, but it totally deteriorated after like two or three songs. And it was just everybody.
Did he come in with the whole band? And
no, it was just him and his outfit and his shades and everything. And then Christian wears this bodysuit where he has hardly anything on, and he has like...
like speakers attached to his keyboard. He's like a walking musical instrument.
Walking musical instrument.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he was there doing that. Yeah. B. N. Yeah, at one point, Frank and Extreme Elvis are nude comparing the sizes of their penises. Both with their big bellies sticking out. And then, you know, Frank has his hand in Extreme Elvis's crotch for a long time. And this is our holiday special. R. Rubbing. Yeah, rubbing his penis. While the girls, you know, hang out and everybody. It was just like a really low, low-key show.
Wow.
And G. Gestures. So, and then at one point, so we have this thing that we sometimes do at the performance art things called gestures, where Frank has written up these lists of gestures on strips of paper that are in a bag. And then I pull them out at random, and people are paired, and they do the gestures with each other. And it's anything from, like, look at each other to explore each other's body using all parts of your body. So it's like a real range, and you never know what you're going to pull. So... here we're all hanging out, having a good time, you know, and these really, you know, fun girls are here too. So Frank says, "You want to do gestures?" So the only taker, thinking that everybody would do it, right? And so the only person that ends up saying yes is Extreme Elvis.
Yeah.
So it's Frank and Extreme Elvis doing gestures.
Kind of gathered that. So what gesture did Elvis get?
Oh, God, I don't know.
But yeah, the one where it's your entire body. You know.
Explore each other's body using your whole body. So there you have him, like, you know, like all over Frank. I mean, it was really out there stuff. It was great TV. H E Hey I Get Shit F From People who say I P play only with women. He's always getting shit like that. Right. And he says they don't seem to notice when Bob is sucking his penis and Extreme like, oh, Elvis is all over him. I would like to see them have Bob sucking them.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. You know, Bob would probably do it. Bob's trisexual. He'd try anything. Yeah, he really would.
That's right.
Especially if someone gives him a beer first.
Right. But but L, last Christmas. Right, so it was kind of like, Joe, this was really fun. Let's make this like a regular thing.
Like
it was just a loose
year,
thing. It wasn't like a commitment or anything, right? Okay, so and then the Christmas is coming up, and Frank emails him and says, you want to do the show again? And he's kind of hedging. He doesn't know. He's thinking
this
about...
This just this past Christmas?
Was it the past Christmas?
The
I think it was. Yeah. Yeah. It was the last one, yes. He's hedging. I don't know. I might be moving to L.A. I'll let you know. And he's just kind of like... And just as luck or not luck would have it, Mikey and I are rarely downtown, and we're walking around downtown Berkeley, and there he is, you know, Extreme Elvis, just walking down the street.
In normal clothes?
Just normal clothes,
what
yeah.
What normal clothes? Extreme
yeah,
Elvis
he looks like a normal guy.
Normal guy?
Normal guy, yeah. Sure. And so it was like, oh, hi, you know, and so... we were asking him about the Christmas show again, and he said, well, you know, I don't know, and everything. I said, oh, you know, we're playing last year's Christmas show on Frank's Berkeley Public Access show this year, because we had planned that all along, because it would be for Christmas. So it would play. It played all week, that show. And he got this look on his face like he was a little nervous.
Why would he be nervous?
A little
about
nervous.
It?
And we were like, whoa, you
was
know,
he like
what has changed?
Up his act or something? Or?
Well, that was the first signs, you know. And
weird.
He didn't actually say, you know, anything, but you could just feel that it was making him a little uncomfortable.
And he just didn't want, oh, wow.
So, and then, yeah.
That surprised
so,
me. He didn't just didn't want, like, his new fans to see, you know, his past, his
right.
history or something.
Right.
Although
right.
that guy, like, you know, I had him on the show again. And he had become completely sober, like straight edge. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was only in like a time span of maybe a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
So he kind of like flips his personality every now and then. So
yeah.
you never know. Like he might come back here and be like, then, I'll be on the show again.
Then I A asked, no, S E sent A M a mass email. Right. To the All-Stars. When we have a gig coming up, Frank has this mass email he'll send out to anybody who might be in his band. Saying this is the date, who wants to be in it, so he kind of knows, you know, if anybody's going to be in it and all that. And so E.E. wrote back, and, well, no, the first one was, you know, I can't do it, I'm in L.A., and so Frank, you know, in his normal manner, this like he has this whole kind of list that he calls the E Salon, all these people that are a community of kind of misfits and troublemakers. H.
The E Salon.
E.
Is Bob in there?
Hey. Right. Bob's not. No. Hey. I. M. A. P. U. I'm a punk. Right. So Frank writes back to him and sends it to the whole list, you know, because everything kind of goes to the whole list. And he says, hey, people are coming up from L.A. for this show, kind of giving him a hard time, you know, but it's all like kind of like play, you know. And it is true. People were coming up from L.A. for the show. That happens all the time, you know. And he's saying, and you can't come up to be in the band, you know, just kind of giving him a hard time. Well, he freaked.
What did he do?
He wrote back and he said, Frank, you're a big baby. You can't take no for an answer.
Extreme Elvis said that?
Don't write to me anymore. I don't want to be on your shows anymore. I mean, he's like totally lost it, you know?
Wow.
So
when was this? This is just like the past few months?
Yeah.
So have you spoken to him since then?
No, well, Frank wrote back to him, of course, and said, Frank's opening line is, hey, who loves you, baby? I do. And then, you know, he starts going on, you know, would either of us have gotten where we are today by taking no for an answer?
Yeah.
You know, and just going on that. Oh. Oh. I. Get. It. You. Have. B. E. You've been. K. I. D. Oh, that's right. This is Frank talking to him in that same email. Oh, I get it. You've been kidnapped.
Kidnapped.
Yeah.
That sounds like he was kidnapped and, like, mind reprogrammed or
B,
something. Is he still
by
performing?
A.
I wonder.
By A. C. R. U.
Camera shy.
L. T. Was it C R? Was it by A C Y C U? Oh, by a cult. Frank said, I get it.
He was
You've been kidnapped by a cult.
Reprogrammed, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably David Koresh or something. Or those guys that want to go on the spaceship. What was it? I forgot the name of that cult. Remember that cult?
The French Davidians.
Yeah. What was the one that they wanted to go on the spaceship and they found them all like comatose?
Yeah.
They're home.
Yeah, and he never wrote back.
That's too bad. I can't believe that. Like, you know, I always, that's weird, you know, that people, I guess people change, but, you know, that's kind of, that's a radical change from that guy.
That is what happened to C.O. Country Porn.
Same thing
happened
with
to Country
Porn.
They were like a really hot band around here in the late 70s. They played all the time. They had a big following. I think they had like Penthouse or something that backed them, that put out their record. Wasn't it Penthouse?
You know, I've seen porns with country music in the background, so I imagine it makes sense
their
to me.
Their songs are incredible, and they had the Muffettes, these two women that would...
I got to get this CD. Can you still buy the CD?
You can buy it. Yeah,
can you still find it?
I mean it's a real popular thing on our website. Mm. People listen to it all the time.
Maybe I'll download it.
Yeah.
Can you download it from the website?
You can't download it from the website, but you can still get the CD. Didn't we see it someplace advertised?
Yeah. That'd be cool. It's it's got Rampage written all over.
But Chinga Chavins was the lead singer. This was before I G. got in to S I singing. Right, this is before Frank got into singing. We used to go to their shows, so we got friends with them, and he used to get down off of the stage and hold the mic up so Frank could sing along with him these songs. And but he, the same thing, he started thinking that... you know, it was time for him to move on. He moved to New York and tried to do like a straight singing thing, and you know, that was the end of it.
He never heard back from him?
I think his career pretty much ended at that point.
Oh, wow.
You're digging out that CD, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mike, you remember
cool.
that he burned
we'll play
a CD.
A little bit of it.
Yeah, so you can have it.
So he moved to New York, the whole band was just done after that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's for you.
You have an extra one?
Yeah. That's an extra one, right? Yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome. This is look at some of these titles here. Come Saints on the Pillow, Asshole from El Paso, Come Unto Jesus. Perfect for the show. It's like that could be my intro into the Jesus show.
Yeah.
It's like, Come Unto Jesus, everyone. Yeah. We're seeing a rampage here. Yeah. Thank you. That's awesome.
But Right. So he could have kept doing that. There was nobody else doing that.
I think how big this would be now. Like, if you stuck with this, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you could, like, this sort of sounds like music that'd be timeless. You know, people would always find it funny.
That's right. Yeah, it is. And the B A. The band was killer. It was really good.
Oh, they're good musicians.
Yeah, yeah. Like Extreme Elvis, you know, the way his band is incredible. Same thing.
So did the whole band move down there?
I don't know. Oh, with Extreme Elvis? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We don't know.
I know, like, it's kind of funny. Like, I used to work at this magazine, and Extreme Elvis worked there, too, before he was Extreme Elvis. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember his, like, real name. But this was, like, back in the day. This was, like, in 1997, 98. Mm-hmm. And he delivered mail. And, like, I worked as, like, an office assistant there. It's, like, I used to hang out outside and smoke cigarettes with him all the time. Uh-huh. And, like, we were friends back then. And then, like, you know, I guess probably, 3 or 4 years later, he came on a radio show, and we were talking about the industry standard. You notice I had an industry standard notebook, because I stole all these notebooks and got laid off. That's not to mention a ton of office supplies. And so I'm, like, sitting there writing, and he's like, I used to work there. And I'm like, oh, my God, dude, I totally remember you. This is way back. He was even skinnier then. And he was, like, a skinny, like, tall. He was still a big guy.
Yeah.
But then, he, like, let loose. I'm like, I remember the first thing I asked him, too, was, like, so why? Why do you get naked, run around? Why are you, like, fat Elvis? You know, why? He's like, so I can get laid. Yeah. And he's like, I couldn't get laid before. How can a fat guy get laid in this town? He's just like, run around and wipe shit on people. You'll get laid. Like, okay. That's too bad, though. Like, you don't have to get to talk to that guy.
Is not that why am most
most people
most
do it.
People do what they do. Join bands.
Maybe not Bob. I don't know.
Maybe not Bob.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to Elvis and see what he's been up to.
Bob, R, U, runs. We have a section in that when we do the all-star band gig, so it's like Frank singing, and then there's usually like 2, 3, or 4 naked women singing and dancing around erotically, and then at one point toward the end,
you saw it.
So then Frank says, "Get the band," at some point, and so we all kind of slither around and, like, you know, just rub all over each band member. So we got to Bob the first time we did Get the Band. And it's like he jumps up. This is what made me think of this when you were saying it. And he starts burning his pubic hair.
He just started lit it on fire.
He, like, ran away from us, and we're, like, running after him. And he runs away from us. He won't even let us, you know, like, kind of go all over him. And he just starts burning his pubic hair. And I was like, this is what he does, I guess.
That's one of Bob's shticks. And Suck Frank Moore's dick. That's what he does. He does both of them.
Is... See, it's called A, D, E, F, E, N, deficiency, no, D, E, F, defense, mechanism.
He just lights his pubes on, and everyone gets wet.
I mean, that's when you watch the video, you know, and everybody kind of moves away from it.
Yeah, there's rhyme and reason to some of Bob's actions. It's like, it makes sense sometimes.
Then, when they, that, did not work. Right. He started threatening to burn our pubic hairs.
Uh-oh.
He just got obsessed with that we shouldn't... Women shouldn't have pubic hairs. Come on, let me just burn them during the show, okay?
I'm trying to think of what he said. He kept saying, because we were talking about this last Saturday. We were talking about... So I was trying to get Bob to come on the show tonight. And I ended up calling him, and he never got back to me. And so Bob, like, usually I have to call Bob like 3 or 4 days in advance to remind him a few times.
Right.
And so I should have done that. But anyways, I remember he was talking about, he's like, oh yeah, all those girls have bird's nests. And he kept saying, like, bird's nest. He's just like, I was trying to burn the bird's nest.
So it's still on his mind. He's still talking about it.
Yeah, he was still talking about it.
Yeah. So Frank, you know, so Frank had us bring a spray bottle the next gig. And so when he came at us with the lighter, I pulled out the spray bottle, like threatening to spray it.
You know, so, like a fire extinguisher.
Yeah,
or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. A spray bottle of water.
Yeah, Bob's crazy.
What? Did you think of the jam when you saw it?
I enjoyed it. It was good. I was not expecting what I saw, definitely. I just met him after work, and I had no idea what was
thing.
Going
I think
on.
It wasn't St. Patrick's. I think it was right before that. It might have been the Valentine's Day thing.
I think it was the
Valentine's Day show. Yeah.
I made it right after work. I think it was Saturday.
It was very romantic.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
But yeah, that was cool. I remember I was like, you got to check this out. It's funny, even my brother, I told my brother to come down that night. My brother is pretty much like, my brother has worked in like a bunch of different gay bars. He's a gay guy. But he's not like only gay. He's a leather man. And he's seen some crazy stuff. He saw your guys' show, and he was just like, dude. You know, and I'm just like, and he used to work at a bar in Chicago where, like, you know, guys on a nightly basis would sit in one of those little kids' pools and pee on this one dude. I mean, like, there's all this crazy stuff that happened, or dudes would fill their balls up with saline solution, and all this crazy stuff. He sees you guys, and he's freaked out by that.
Whoa.
I'm just like, wait, okay,
wow.
Wait a
Why?
Second. You're freaked
Why?
Out by this show.
Why?
Maybe because there are naked women there. So, like, I don't know. I was like, there's Bob, there's Frank. That's the both worlds. But no, he's freaked out by that, but yet he'll go and not even bat an eye at people peeing on each other in the back of this dirty bar. It's so funny.
Wow.
Now, your show definitely still blows people's minds. It's a very unique experience. Unique San Franciscan experience.
I don't really get why. Yeah, I don't either. Why do you think?
You know, I don't know why he was freaked out by it. He was just like, I guess
like
he never
in
seen...
general, you said, like, it blows people's minds. Why do you think it is that it does?
I think it's because, I mean, how often do you ever get to see, like, you know, a bunch of naked people on stage? One guy in a wheelchair, naked, with a bunch of girls crawling all over. I mean, I had never seen anything like that before. And now it's funny, because I'll talk about it to people and be like, oh, yeah, this is... You know, this dude Frank Moore, he's been doing it since the 60s, you know, radical guy. You know, he's just like, and he does this show, and I'll describe the show to people, and they'll be like, they're jaw dropping, their eyes opening, like, you see this regularly? And I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, he plays with my friend, you know, Fluff Girl over at Chemo's, and he's usually on his hands and knees sucking the guy's dick. And, like, they're just looking at me like I'm insane. And it's funny, because, I mean, I guess if you don't live, like, especially, like, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, so I'll tell people in the Midwest about this stuff, and they're looking at me like, you're insane, only in California.
Wow.
And, you know, most people who are sheltered never get to see something like that.
C. F. L. Fluff Girl. B. U. R. N. Burn. P. U. P. E. Pubes. Fluff Girl Burning Pubes. S. K. Schizo Puking in Bob's Mouth. All of that is okay. E. Extreme Elvis Shitting and Throwing
It
at the
Audience. Yeah, throwing his shit. Well, no,
but
that
people
freak
out
too.
When they see us dancing naked.
People freak out at Extreme Elvis, yeah. Though, too. I remember that, like... I mean, he was banned from Bomb of the Hill. That night where he threw the shit, like, he threw the shit and it hit some girl, and her boyfriend started the fight with him.
Oh, wow. But.
Yeah, that's why it was like.
N. O. But now, Extreme Elvis is M. A. Mainstream.
He's cleaned up his act. He's doing something with the Olsen twins now.
S. So, there M-U, there must be a D I different L E level of F R freak out.
Different level of freak out now.
What do you mean? Extreme now stream of us is mainstream. What is that? What do you mean? Different level of freak out.
Well, people probably don't freak out about him anymore.
Yeah, they probably don't freak out about him anymore because he's mainstream.
They're kind of losing. I noticed, like, as opposed to your guys' show. I mean, your guys' shows, even Elvis's show is constantly changing. Like, he'd usually do some different shtick or come out and, like, make some other kind of, like, you know, socio-political message. But it was always kind of the same thing, you know. Basically, it's going to degenerate into him naked, running around, grabbing you and stuff like that. And, like, after a while, I think that even attendance at his show has kind of dropped a little bit. Whereas, like, you guys, I mean, your guys' act is always, like, something, you know, new that, like, not to mention everyone there is into it.
Right.
You know, so it's, like, you kind of have that crowd that always just follows. I don't think Extreme Elvis ever really built, like, a huge crowd up here. I mean, he did have a lot of regular people that would go. Like, I saw a lot of familiar faces. But, I mean, I've seen him, like, I've probably seen him, like, 4 or 5 times. And after that, I'm just like, yeah, dude, you know, I don't know if I think I'm going to give that one a rest. Gets messy. It's like Guar show.
He always A asked how you keep the edge. I mean, that was one of the main things that it seemed like the main thing that one of the main things that impressed him about Frank was the longevity. Like, how can you keep doing this for so many, like, you know, 30
I'm impressed
years
by that too. Yeah, 30
keep
years.
The edge.
And never lose. I mean, you guys still go out there and blow people's minds. I mean,
yeah,
still,
yeah.
It's just amazing. I mean, especially I think like Extreme Elvis is probably like, what, how old is he? He's probably about my age. You know, he's been doing it for a few years.
Yeah, he's in his 30s, right? Is that how old you are?
Yeah. I bet you, like, I just don't see him doing it in the long run. I doubt it. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's a very talented guy. So it's like, you know, maybe he'll start something else. And it's not, now he's in a transitional period. I mean, the guy, and not to mention, he's a guy, he has a great voice.
Yeah.
He definitely sing.
Yeah. He. S. E. Sees. It. As. S. H. Short term. S-H-O. Show. Showbiz. He sees it as showbiz.
Yeah, not lifestyle.
Right, not lifestyle. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I've always thought with, like, a lot of the bands, a lot of the performance artists that we've had on Rampage. It's like, you know, yeah, you can have that showbiz appeal, and you'll be kind of like one of those, like, you know, hot, you know, one-hit wonder kind of things.
Right.
You know, it's like an ephemeral fame that will last, that people remember you for that one shtick that you do.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's the people that just stay with it and do it for the long run. Like Bob Madigan. I mean, I can't even tell you how many bands that guy's been in.
Right.
Boom King with the Legion of the Doom. Those guys are like, you know, they've been doing it. It's a lifestyle. They devoted their entire life to doing this.
That's right.
I think that's impressive, you know. Same with Frank. I mean, it's it's not like a one-hit wonder kind of thing.
Yeah. P-E. People. F-E. Feel. Feel anything, would, could, H, happen. People can feel that anything could happen, right, at a show.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And you never know what to expect at, like, Bob shows. I've seen even, like, Fluff Girl shows, and same in your guys' shows, like, you never know what you're going to see. And that, I think that's part of the magic, you know, part of the excitement about it. And the same with Bob. I mean, I've seen Bob come out. Have you ever seen him in that, like, cat suit that he wears? I mean, it's probably, it's like I've had nightmares about it to this day.
We saw, he wore his meat G-string.
G-string. That was great. That was one of the most, that's probably the most, that one gave me nightmares, too. It's like, Oh, like I saw that, and I'm like, you know, I'm glad I'm a vegetarian. I'm glad I don't eat meat because after that.
I realized I was just looking at that the whole time, trying to figure out like what meat products there were.
You know, and that's funny because that's all PETA would need if they want people, you know, to be vegetarians. Just like stick a picture of Bob up there to meet you. Yeah, it's like no one's gonna touch meat anymore. It's like I'm done with it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like his shows, I've seen him do crazy stuff. I remember he was wearing this like that cat suit that was like, I don't know, he's butt naked over here. He had his crotch cut out, and he had his like, it went all the way up to like his face. So his face was covered. He had like this like leather, just like this leather bondage mask on with the ball and everything.
Wow.
But yet he took the ball out when he was singing. Yes. And then he lit his whole head on fire. And he lit his crotch on fire, and then boom, ran up and put it out with Southern Comfort. So he was, like, covered in, like, whiskey, and drinking whiskey, lighting his head on fire.
Wouldn't Southern Comfort, like, make it explode?
Well, that's what
more?
I was thinking. I was just like, boom, you're probably going to light, you know, immolate your brother here. It's just like...
Wow.
But no. It would have been cool, though. That was at the Covered Wagon. That was a while ago.
And... B O Bob could do no nothing. Oh, and it would still be a good show?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Bob could like Bob could just come out there and they could just play their music, play their set, and people would still like I don't know. I love the music.
Yeah.
Especially when they had that one guy, the guy from Barney, I think his name was.
Oh, Barney the Thurman player?
Yeah, Barney doing
the
Thurman.
Yeah, he's still there. He's an all-star practically every gig we do.
Oh, really? Yeah, that guy's, he has this custom-made Thurman. He just makes these crazy sounds.
Yeah.
You know what? I apologize for that. What was going off there?
Where? A. S. Whereas Extreme Elvis, well, it feels like there's a certain control there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't kind of feel like anything could happen in like a real way.
Well, I mean, yeah, in a sense, though, I mean, you never know what he's going to, you know, he's going to rush out, you know, he's going to do something. So you kind of expect that.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, when you see you guys, when you see like Bob, I mean, you go there and you just... kind of expect Bob's going to do something crazy, but you don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, especially if you've been to an Extreme Elvis show, you know he's going to run out in the audience. You know he's going to grab you and, like, put his sweaty, flabby arm on you and make you sing. And you know he's going to do something like that. But so I think after a while, people just kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, conditioned to expect something.
Yeah.
Whereas I think you guys still keep people on their toes.
Yeah.
Still jumping. My brother was freaked out, and that was kind of, that was for a major feat. Freak out my brother. I think it goes to rest stops to get off.
W H I, which is how R A Rampage Radio is right like. Which is what Rampage Radio is like.
We,
you go there and you don't know what's going to happen, and it feels like anything can happen.
And sometimes, I mean, it's kind of toned down than how it used to be. Like, when you guys were on it 2 years ago, it was a lot crazier back then.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of toned down a bit because I've been getting into trouble.
Uh-huh.
Like, the past couple times I got in trouble, I had to, like, plead my case for the program director, so I've kind of toned it down.
Yeah.
But the thing is, too, there's two other people that do Rampage. Like, we have Rock Quintana that does his show.
Yeah.
We have Black Metal Martha and Tonus that they split a shift, too. And, like, their show's completely different than our show. So it's like, you know, if you listen, I mean, we all play different music, too. So it's like... like, my whole thing is I kind of like to get people from the community. Performance are like, Frank is a perfect guest. It's like, the kind of guest I'm going for. Because, like, we have bands on. Like, I like to give bands that, you know, are just starting, fledgling bands, a chance to come on and get interviewed. But bands are usually kind of, like, in a sense, kind of boring. So, I mean, they talk about the same thing. So, you know, how many gigs you guys played? You know, they don't really have much to say where it's like...
right.
Well, I had Frank on. I mean, I had, like, you know, this history.
Yeah.
And we had a lot to talk about. That was cool.
Yeah.
And Frank didn't even care. I could ask you anything. And you're just like, all right. I'm like, oh, so when'd you lose your virginity? I remember that. And that was cool. I mean, I had people calling in being like, wow, this is crazy.
I am not like A B A S E baseball. Oh, a baseball player. When you when you ever hear baseball players interviewed, it's the same kind of thing. They all kind of say the same thing.
Yeah. Most sports players.
I was just looking for the ball. I was just lucky. Ball just came right at me. I was seeing it good.
Well, a lot of the bands. I mean, they're young guys. They're just starting, and like you know, I mean, we do have some other ones on, but sometimes the bands are like, you know, they're just too cool to talk about stuff. It's like you try to get into an interview and try to ask some cool stuff, and they're just like, yeah, they'll laugh about the question or make a joke about it. I mean, I've had some great bands on there, like Schizo is a great band. And, I can't even tell you my songs. I've interviewed Fluff Girl. But, like, we used to do, you know, one thing I want to get back to with Rampage, like, we used to do all these game shows and all this crazy stuff where we'd have, like, people competing for stupid prizes and, like, that was fun. I used to do that before, but it's kind of hard, like as I was saying, without you know the other people that used to do the show. Right. So it's like now we kind of toned it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm. But we still like to keep it pretty interesting and pretty crazy. Yeah. And like there, we still have a lot of people listening, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. Like we had this one guy, freaky guy, calls up every show, and like he can barely speak. I don't know if it's because he's so high on speed or something, but I mean, this is like, he'll call like 5 in the morning, and he's just up, he's like, yeah, I've been taping your show. Tapes every single show. He's taping it for years. It's like, wow, okay. So I guess there are some people that really like it. That's the thing, there's fans out there, so.
I-H-A, I had the H-E-C, the heckler. Oh, for years we had this guy that we nicknamed the Heckler. Started out at a San Francisco, this really underground little club. This guy showed up, and it was during a period when Frank was by himself on the stage singing along with taped music, and he'd be singing like Sonny and Cher and Joe South, Walk a Mile in My Shoes.
Do one of those shows again.
Oh, they were. I think that'd be funny. Great.
And but do the same songs.
Yeah, and he'd sing I Am Woman, the Helen Reddy song.
I wouldn't mind seeing him do Britney Spears.
The.
Wouldn't that be great? Like just like Britney and Madonna.
F-E.
In fact, I'd probably tape it and send it to him.
Oh, we had the feeders, actually. We did, during this period when he was doing that, was when Tim Yohannan was running the Gilman Street thing, the guy who started it. And he had been a fan of Frank's from the Mabuhay days, from the Outrageous Beauty Review, so he booked Frank. And Frank was, it was Frank singing these songs at the Gilman Street. So afterwards, he says in this very respectful way, you know, Frank, you should do whatever you want to do, but you might want to consider doing more current material. You know, it's just like Frank doesn't know, you know, what he's doing. So that was right after we had just met the Feeders around that time, and they were, like, really hot. This was, like, in the early 80s,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, the Feeders were big back then.
And so Frank tells Frank Discussion, and he said, would you guys be my backup band for my next gig? So we get the whole band over at our little garage, and they learn all these songs. So it's
so
Frank Discussion
awesome.
And Frank Moore singing, you know,
I got you, babe,
and all these kinds of things. So we get booked, and that's the show. And at the end of it, you know, we get walking off the stage, and Tim Yohannan's standing in the back, and he's just shaking his head like, I give up.
Yeah, it's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should do one of those shows again at Chemos. Yeah. That'd be great.
Well, we were doing this at this club in San Francisco, and this guy was just heckling. And so finally, Frank says, come on up and sing with me as a way to kind of deal this guy. So he pulls him up, and has the guy singing with him. Well, in a way, that was like our fatal error because I guess this guy's kind of an asshole. He just loved Frank. He loved Frank. He used to travel between here and L.A. He would be at every show. And heckle. L.
Just yelling stuff.
And Los Angeles, yeah. I mean, wherever we went, he'd be there.
Crazies, yeah.
He's got this voice.
Yeah. Hey, Linda Mac, hi. You know, in the middle, we'd be doing these ritual performances that are all very, you know,
kind
of
spiritual.
Quiet and everything. Like, hey, Frank, Linda.
He got some crazy.
Is the G, the guy, G-U, R, the guru of P, E S. Oh, pest control now. How did we find out about that?
Wait, he actually
he called us
for pest control.
He started his own pest control business. He's in Southern California, and he's like the he really is the guru of pest.
Isn't that ironic?
Control.
It's like the biggest pest is in charge of pest control.
He called us like a year ago.
It's funny how sometimes life just makes sense.
Oh my God,
yeah,
that's
just,
right.
It's rare, but every now and then it's just like good.
He said he looked us up on the internet, and he's happy to see we're still doing what we're doing. And we said, well, what are you doing? He's this pest. You know, he's gotten all this press about being this
pest control guy. Wow. Does he still come to your shows? No.
A. In fact, he is in a N O. Oh, right. There's a novel that was written that in that he's one that he appears in. As the pest control guy. Because I guess he's kind of famous in the area that he lives in.
Yeah, I was wondering, have there ever been any books written about you, Frank?
Any books written about you? Have there ever been
there
any books written about you?
Like an autobiography or something.
We've had a lot of people that talked about doing that. We actually have somebody that's been meeting with Frank on a regular basis for years, working on the Frank story.
Yeah, I think like an autobiography would be cool. I would definitely read something like that.
He's the new one of the new all-star members. Frank has kind of activated these other personas in him. We met him because he was a PhD, working on his PhD on the sexual habits of Bay Area men who have cerebral palsy.
Wow.
And he called Frank to ask if he could interview. It was supposed to be two interviews. And that was like, 10 years ago or something? And they've been meeting ever since. So after he finished his PhD, and on his doctorate, it was just like he'd be talking about it, and then he'd say, and then there's Frank Moore. Because Frank was like the exception to all
his exception
things.
To the rule.
And so during the course of them meeting, he decided to just write a book about Frank. And so he's writing a book about Frank. Cool. And then at one point, we found out he had this big blues collection of records. So Frank said, could we have them to play, copy them to play on Lover? And then he became a DJ, and then we discovered this other persona, Dr. Groove. And it's this character who has this weird voice and plays all this, you know, music, really good music.
Cool.
And then at one point he mentions that he plays the harmonica. And Frank said, you want to be in the All-Stars. So, and then this other character comes out. He's like, you know, this great harmonica player that really, really has a good time. So, and he's writing the book about Frank, too.
Cool.
So the heckler, the way we got rid of the heckler was he showed up at an L.A. performance. This is years into knowing him. And it was a performance where Frank was in this cave for the first, hour. And so the heckler with his two heckler friends were terrorizing the cast. Frank's wheelchair was out there empty, and he was having his friends wheel him around in the wheelchair. And everybody's sitting on the ground, you know, bumping into people and just harassing the audience. And so,
what an asshole.
What an asshole. Really big time. So Frank comes out of the cave after an hour or so, and he turns around to the heckler, who was him and his heckler friends were sitting up on these things above Frank, behind him, not with the rest of the audience. And Frank turns and he says, good job. And he turns to the audience. He says, in case you didn't figure this out, their role was to play assholes. And I think they did a really good job. He says, so guys, he says, you should tone it down for the next hour or two. But then for the last half hour, be really big assholes for the last half hour. And then he turns and he starts, you know, talking to the audience about the rest of the thing. Well, the guys, they just crawled out.
They're embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they just
We never heard from them again until they called us.
It's funny, because you could have probably done that years before. Right. I would have had to deal with it.
Right.
Wow, it's crazy.
Well, maybe that's a wrap, huh? Yeah? So we should plug Rampage Radio.
Oh, okay, yeah, definitely, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on a guest finally on the show.
Yay.
I'm sorry I showed up a little bit late, but ate Mexican food today. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But anyways, no, I mean, you guys are definitely have to come back on. And, you know, I kind of wanted to start something, too. I was just going to bring this up. I was trying to, like, talk to Boom about putting together this kind of, like, freak show thing. Uh-huh. Like, a show just involving a bunch of, like, crazy performance art and some extreme music at the same time. Mm-hmm. Just kind of, like, bringing the best of both worlds. So it'd be, like, you know, a weird band, performance artist. And, like, definitely have Frank be a part of it, too, because...
When?
You know, I'm talking to Boom and
what?
Bob about it right now.
What am I, the weird band or the performance artist?
Hey, he's a mixture of both. He can do both. But yeah, I was just trying to like do something. We're like, we'll probably bill it as like, you know, the weirdest, strangest show you'll ever see. And I want to do like a Rampage Radio Presents, probably a KSF Presents, and see if we can get this going either at Chemo's or, I don't know, maybe some other venue around town. But I don't know, it's probably something in the distance.
Yeah.
There's something in the future, so I definitely want to do that. But
yeah.
In the meantime, listen to Rampage Radio, KUSF 90.3 FM, 2 to 8 in the morning. Mm. It's every Saturday night, Sunday morning. And I believe this last weekend, it was last night, it was Ron Quintana. So next weekend, it's Black Metal Martha and Tonus. And then I'm on in a week after that. So 2 weeks, you get to hear me and Boom and Bob. And
then for people that aren't in the Bay Area, they can go to the...
You can go check out. You can actually go to my website at www.rampageradio.com. And you can just click on Listen Online. It'll go right to the KUSF website where there's a link. Where I think it goes through Live 365 or something.
Uh-huh.
You can also listen to it on iTunes. I mean, we have people all over the country listening to the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, KUSF, I mean, even the regular programming is great. So it's like, you know, just listen to it all the time.
Yeah.
I keep my station set at it. But yeah.
In. B.
Give yourself a t-shirt.
A. B-E. R. In Berkeley. We can't get it very well. But, you know, we could listen to it on the internet.
You could listen to it clear on the internet, but I don't know why the signal kind of fails in Berkeley, yet it goes out to El Cerrito.
Oh,
and Alameda. It does? Yeah, Alameda, it's fine. You can listen to it clear as day in Alameda.
Oh.
But in Berkeley, it's just, I think it's some kind of conspiracy with CalX.
Uh-huh.
Like, we're going to block out KUSF.
Right. Right.
But yeah, definitely. We're going to have you guys on the show again. Maybe if I get this thing going, we'll like do a, like an interview, kind of hyping it.
Yeah. Yeah. What?
What's the channel number? What's the call letter?
Oh, it's 90.3 FM.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, 90.3.
What do you want, think? What do you think of J.E.S. Jesse Townley? Do you know Jesse Townley?
No.
Okay, so he's, I guess he's been in a bunch of bands, like punk bands, the lead singer to a bunch of punk bands, but he's running for city council
in
Berkeley now.
In Berkeley?
Yeah.
What bands is he playing in?
Oh, Mikey, do you remember? Damn.
Jesse Townley.
Let's see. Corey and Alexi, do you remember any of the bands that Jesse Townley has been in?
Well, I'll have to check that out. Maybe I'll have him as a guest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's running.
Are you guys voting for him?
Well, he's not our district.
Oh.
Frank had him on the show once, and he's going to have him back again, I think. But Frank gave him a hard time, basically.
Oh, really?
Because, he is that D-U. He's that dumb to come back a second time. Frank said, I'm really going to pounce on you next time.
He deserves it.
Yeah. One of the bands is called Blatz, B-L-A-T-Z.
Blatz.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
Yeah. So,
The Frisk is the latest one.
The Frisk is the one he's in now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think more musicians should get involved in politics.
Yeah, well, his whole thing, and he's worked at Gilman Street for years. He's been one of the guys that run Gilman Street.
Gilman.
Yeah,
I probably have met this guy then.
Yeah, but he's like his thing is that he thinks he has to clean up his act to run for city council. And Frank said, you know, punk is what you got. That's mm-hmm.
That's your appeal.
That's your appeal.
It's just like,
that's
yeah.
appeal.
It's your appeal. Why change it?
I don't know if there are enough punks in my district. And Frank said, but it's you don't have to be a punk, you know, to have that be an appeal to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so. Like, why change who you are?
Right. Yeah. Right. So.
Oh, cool. I'll have to see Jesse. What's his
Jesse
last name?
Townley.
Jesse Townley.
I can give you his email address.
Yeah, cool. I'll check it out. I'll see if he'll come on the show.
And he don't C O N. N E connect. What Frank said to him is Frank's, he doesn't connect the fact that he ran Gilman Street and that he's run it well for like a whole bunch of years.
Yeah.
And Frank said, you know, that's part of your appeal. You've run this club that is like world known and
exactly.
is a model
like
for
renowned,
people all over the world. You've run it well and they can't run the city. So you've got that. And he's going, yeah, but that's a club and this is a city. And it was like, no. No.
Oh, that's funny. It's just running like Gilman.
Yeah, right.
That'd be cool.
Okay, so Dirty Sanchez and Misty, RampageRadio.com. And this will be up on the Shaman's Den archives cool. eventually, so you can hear the whole thing if you missed part of it. May, will you? D A N dance in the All Star Band.
She doesn't dance.
You had to get that in, right? You couldn't end the show without hitting Misty up.
Always trying to recruit.
Definitely. What?
Flattered, though.
She's flattered, though. She's flattered that you asked.
She's a good dancer, too.
Yeah. S-I-S-I-N since sing? How about sing?
No, I don't sing, that's for sure.
It's a good try, though.
Very good try.
Trying to get her to do it for years.
He's been trying to get her to do it for years. Yes. A. L. O. A lot. Of. O. A lot of P. People. S A say I can not S I a lot of people say that Frank can't sing. That doesn't stop him.
Good point.
What? One time we were on KPFA and there were many times actually, but one time somebody said, "What is going on? This guy can't sing. What is going on?" And the host, Barb, got really defensive about Frank and what a great artist he is and he has cerebral palsy. And the guy said, "I don't care what his excuse is. The guy can't sing. Shut him up." And then another woman called one time with the same kind of thing about, I really like what you say, you know, and you have a great mind, but oh my, you really can't sing. And so Frank said, try listening next time and think that I'm somebody from another planet and see if that helps. And she actually called back and said, that worked. I could relate.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's like there's this new band called that, what the hell is it? Hate Beak. And the lead singer, it's a metal band. The lead singer is a parrot. Like, they have a parrot that's the lead singer. There's another metal band that uses, like, dogs. And it's like, so, you know, if you're going to use that as your singer, it's just like... Open your mind a little bit.
Open your mind. There you go. What are you S A? What are you saying?
I was saying maybe you guys should get some animals into the all-star band here.
Are you saying I sing like a parrot? Like A D?
It's like a song.
Like bird. A dog?
No, way better.
Way
so get
better,
some animals
Frank.
Into the All-Star. A-list material
okay.
today from Frank.
Okay. Will you sing? You said get some animals into the band. He said, okay, will you sing?
All right. You don't even want to hear my voice.
Yes. Yes, we do.
They think Frank singing's bad. You hear my voice. People are going to be running.
We are P-L-A playing K. Oh, we're playing chemos at Labor Day
weekend. Labor Day, yeah.
It's
Labor
a Sunday
weekend,
night,
yeah.
yeah. So if you...
Oh,
saying,
I'll come on down, yeah. I'll come,
come
on down.
Down
I'll do
sing.
A number. We can do a Jewish song, Hava Nagila or something. Yeah. We'll do some Sonny and Cher.
And he's inviting you to it.
Yeah. Cool.
S. O. Sonny. Would not sing with Frank. We invited Sonny to, because we were in L.A., you know, performing, and we went to eat at his restaurant, and he was there.
And Sonny wouldn't sing?
So Frank told him how we do Sonny and Cher, and I play Cher, and he went, oh. So Frank said, would you come, you know, and sing with me? And he said, I don't do that anymore, Frank, I don't do that. Yeah.
Oh, what about Cher?
Yeah, we never ran into her.
Oh, that would be nice. She can join the All-Star.
Yeah. Okay, and we're saying goodbye one more time. RampageRadio.com.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.